The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello, I'm Kiran Kapoor. Today's show is all about internal marketing. That's the art of communication within your organisation. We'll look at what internal marketing seeks to achieve.
Employees need to feel that they belong within an organisation, that they need to feel valued. They need to feel they're good at doing something.
And why it's so important.
The best employees are those who are really engaged. They fully understand what the organisation's doing, what its strategy is, and get ahead and do it.
The podcaster's guide to marketing acronyms.
But we start this week with an acronym. And today's acronym relates to communications, and it's one of the oldest acronyms predating marketing as a concept. First posed 95 years ago, it is ADA, standing for Attention, Interest, Desire and Action. It's usable in many contexts, but it describes the hierarchy of movement of somebody going through stages from grabbing their attention, engaging their interest, creating a desire, and then finally promoting an action. You could look at it the other way around. The model states that before a customer will take action to buy a product, they must have built up a desire for it. Before that, they will have developed an interest in it. And before that, they must have noticed it or had it brought to their attention. The model has this nice sort of common sense feel about it, and it can be extremely useful in planning marketing communications, which is why it's still used 95 years on. So that's ADA, Attention, Interest, Desire and Action.
The podcaster's guide to marketing acronyms.
And I'm welcoming back Alan Anstead, Course Director and Tutor for Public Relations Qualifications. Alan, last time you were on, we were talking about what PR can do for you and what PR means. But this time you're going to talk much more about internal communications. So again, could you start with explaining what internal communications means?
Thank you, Kira. Yeah, internal communications, you know, it's a buzzword, if you like, a term. What does it really mean? And quite simply, it's the communication within an organisation with the employees of that organisation. And it's about involving and engaging employees in what the organisation's doing. And it's there because, well, employees are the best ambassadors for an organisation. They're the ones doing the work for the organisation. The more engaged they are, the better, rather than harder, more effective working that they will do. And it leads to another term that's buzzed around about employee engagement, that the best employees are those who are really engaged. They fully understand what the organisation's doing, what its strategy is, and get ahead and do it. Employee engagement, of course, is a result, something an organisation wants to achieve, you know, an outcome, if you like. And the way that's reached is probably more about employee experience. And every employee wants an experience, a positive experience, from being at work. Johan Harry, an author, said that employees need to feel that they belong within an organisation, that they need to feel valued in their work. They need to feel they're good at doing something, and they need to feel that they have a secure future. That's, you know, verging on human resources and management of an organisation. But the way that it happens is via internal communication. The engagement, the information flows two-way, where possible, to the employees, staff, and back from the employees, back to whoever sent it, the director of the organisation, or the HR human resources team. So internal communications plays a strong but very important role within an organisation.
So I think you raised the idea of HR, and it was one of the questions I was going to ask you. Who owns this internal communications function? Because I think HR would always say it's a human resources element, and quite often marketing or communications teams would say no, it's to do with us. So where do you think it fits?
I think internal communications is very much a shared function, and I'd add one more group there: directors, senior managers, who want to tell employees about something, maybe the strategy, maybe some new business won, or a new director appointed, or some piece of news that would perhaps be of interest to the organization, or some change coming, or everyone's going to be working from home during coronavirus restrictions time, what that means. So I think there are three shared parties in this, and it works best when literally they come together and bring their skills and expertise together. The directors, the senior managers, because they're making the decisions. They know what the strategy is. Human resources, because they know how employees work. They know the terms and conditions. They're often the first port of call for an employee that has an issue, good or bad. And communications function, because they know how to communicate effectively those messages, often from human resources or from senior managers. So I see it as very much a shared role. And I think where it doesn't work so well is where there is some silos put in place, or a lack of working together.
Okay, so I think there were a couple of things I was going through my mind as you were talking about that. One of the things you're talking about is employee engagement. So presumably that means we've got to think what the employees want to hear. And on the other side, you were talking about senior managers or directors wanting to talk about, say, a new director being appointed. Again, is there a tension there? Because I can imagine, particularly in a large organisation, me thinking, well, I don't really care about a new director that's been appointed. I'm much more interested in something more locally to me. So again, how do you manage that?
The key to good internal communications is to address the question, what does it mean for me? And the me being the employee. What does it mean to that employee? And one has to think that through. So a change of director may mean something, because it means a change of direction, perhaps in the company, or the experience that new director brings. What that may mean to the employee working in a particular function needs to be explained, in the same way that it could be about a change of working practice. We talked about working from home just now. What does that mean to the employee? How is it going to happen? How can I have my computer at home? How are we going to still keep in touch with each other, the team, all those things? So it's addressing that question, I think, is quite critical. What does it mean for me, and the me being the employee? And that should be a question asked of every piece of internal communication.
Okay, so there's going to be two areas I'm going to lead you into. One is to sort of talk about some of the tools and techniques that you can use in internal communications. And the second one, the last one, you won't be surprised from our previous conversation, Alan, is I'm going to ask you about how you measure it. So can we talk through some of the tools and techniques you can use for internal comms? Because I think most of us default back to email, but I'm sure there are better things to use.
Email. I had a discussion last week with one of our diploma students who is having a battle within her organization about emails. She wants to reduce them. The senior management want to increase them. There is a feeling that all staff emails, as they're often called, an email that's sent to everyone in that organization, there's too many of them. They're not being read, and therefore they're not actually effective as a communication tool. And in our discussion, we talked about, well, how do you get that information seen, understood by the employee, but still save some things where email is good at? And email is good at sending information one way, but some key information out quickly to many employees. But even then, does every member of staff have access to email all the time? If you think of a construction company, the answer would be no. Many of them are working on site for the majority of the day, might only check emails at the beginning and at the end. So thinking through what would be a good channel is to actually get that information across, or if it's an engagement, to have that engagement, a two-way conversation, is a second question after what does it mean for me. So all staff emails, there is a role for them, but I see many organizations reducing the number of emails they send out, because it is very much one way. It's what's called lean media, because there isn't that real possibility to reply, ask questions, check whether any misunderstandings, and also the fact that there's so many emails it may not even get seen by many people. To other forms, many organizations have had a lot of success, and by success I mean a lot of positive views, and we're going to talk in a minute about measurement, views from employees around newsletters, and they've changed. In the past, they used to be that, I remember, those printed newsletters. Well, that happens very rarely nowadays. They're much more, perhaps even interactive. They're online. But a newsletter that not just is one-way information from senior management, but tells the story of different people in the organization and what they're doing, can be a really engaging way of bringing the employees, making them feel like they belong to an organization and feel valued and that they're good at doing something, whatever they're doing within that organization. And then you've got team meetings. Please talk about this and or present this in team meeting and get views across and see what staff feel about it. That, of course, is a much more richer media, much more of a two-way discussion, and feedback can be given. And there is a whole range. There's social media channels specifically for internal communications, like Yammer, which looks a bit like Facebook, but it's closed and it's there for employees, staff, to talk about different issues. There are a number of tools there that one can use, and one would, as with external communications, internal communications no different, one would select the best channel to fit the purpose, what it is that one wants to achieve as the communicator. Or we talked earlier about, it could well be senior management or human resources being the lead on it, with the communications function doing the work of communicating, which probably leads us on to measurement, doesn't it, Karen?
It does indeed, which is where I was going to take you next. So you talked about having engaged employees, and you talked about communicating to make those employees effective. So I'm working on the principle that you last time you talked about strategic goals and what you're trying to achieve out of it. So if we're trying to achieve effective employees and employees that are more engaged, is that what you measure, or do you measure the number of people that are actually reading what you're sending to them?
Yeah, I think you can measure both, and would want to certainly measure the first, how engaged people feel, how involved people feel in the organisation, how valued people feel in the organisation. But that would require some primary research, a survey. And many organisations have an annual survey. Some have a specific employee engagement survey that they send to staff every year. And that can be a big exercise. Every year, everyone completes the survey. But it can be benchmarked against the previous year's results. Can see what changes, how people feel that there has been any change, improvement or negative change. So that's one way of measuring how engaged people feel, the employee engagement, and what value the internal communications is bringing. But that can't happen so often. It's a big process. Another way is, as you suggested, looking at the internal communications themselves. And you could look at both the reach, how many percent of employees did actually open that newsletter. And then you could look at engagements. What did they do with it? Did they like it? Or did they comment on something? And you can look at engagement rates as well. That gives a good indication then as to whether that message was getting through or what people felt about it. So not just the outputs, the communications activities themselves, in this case, internal communications, the channels and what's done, but also looking at what did the audience do, feel, change, and therefore the outcomes.
Are there any pitfalls in internal communications, Alan? I think lots of companies are worried about over-communicating or oversharing or sending out messages that perhaps are mixed messages or negative messages. What sort of pitfalls should people avoid?
A very common, employee grudges, it's poor communications here, without being more specific than that. So I think employees want to be informed, but actually, even if you're sending lots of information to them, it doesn't mean they've actually read it or, go one stage further, understood the communication. And therefore, it's finding the right balance as to how often, in what form, what sort of content works best to inform and involve employees in what the organisation's doing. And it will vary organisation to organisation, depending on the sector they're in, the working style of people. Are they out and about, or are they all sitting in an office? Are they even in different countries with perhaps some different cultural aspects to bear in mind? But all that said, internal communications has a very vital function, and I think that's been very clear over the last 6 months with coronavirus, with employees wanting to know, well, what's this mean for my job? What does this working from home mean? Or, when will I be, if I'm on furlough, when will I be back? And all of that, though the decisions on those things may be made elsewhere, government, for example, with coronavirus restrictions, or the company or the organisation itself about staff that are on furlough, it's the communication of those decisions that really matters. So, yes, perhaps one could say by communicating you open up to a discussion, but isn't that better to have that discussion and employees feel valued, feel that they belong to the organisation, engaged and involved in the organisation, than wondering what's not. And then you get that vacuum if it's not filled with effective internal communication, that a vacuum that's filled by gossip. The old idea of the water cooler sort of gossip. And here's a funny story for you. I'm not going to name the person, of course. When I worked in the Foreign Office, my boss started smoking for one reason. I think he used to cough and hate it because the people he wanted to engage with were smokers, all went outside of the building. And if he was a smoker, he could join them and influence their discussion, plus know what was going on.
So we've talked a lot about working from home and it being an issue, and of course it clearly is. How do you feel companies should re-engage with that? Are there different things you should be doing with internal communications because people are now working from home and possibly just that little bit more scared than we have been in the past?
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. I think people are worried and certain people will feel perhaps more vulnerable. A young single person living alone will feel undoubtedly more vulnerable than someone with a large family because there's less no one to talk to, perhaps, or their previous social life is all but disappeared. And all they have is their perhaps work life. And when they're just sitting behind a computer, they may feel perhaps left out of it. There's psychological things that need to be borne in mind. I think that the working from home is done best when organizations perhaps even trial some of the new channels. Zoom, I'm sure Zoom will become part of the Oxford English Dictionary words for this year, if it isn't there already. Zoom video conferencing has become the norm to keep employees informed, keep them engaged, to share things, to be able to do some of the things that in the past one got up from one's desk in an office, walked over to someone and said, "Do you have a minute? Can I discuss this with you?" Well, now one does it over Zoom. So it's a bit more of a personal experience than picking up the phone and telephoning and thinking through how best to keep people informed, how best to collaborate with people using things like Slack channels or using Teams. Microsoft Teams effectively has become part of that. And there is an internal communications role in that as well as a management role. Or a collaboration and a team building role.
Thanks, Alan. Lastly, before you go, are there any sort of top tips you would have for somebody perhaps thinking we really need to up our internal communications? Where would you start?
For me, a top tip would be for some difficult circumstances, people working from home, it's actually an opportunity to be more effective, to use digital channels more effectively to collaborate, to work, and seeing perhaps an opportunity to look again at the traditional way of doing things, all staff emails being perhaps the main one, another all staff email, but thinking, actually, is that best? Is there a different way, a better way of achieving what it is we want to achieve and doing that? Maybe it's putting a post on Slack and getting people to comment on it. Maybe it's putting something on Yammer again for people to work on, to give their views on. And I think it's seeing using some of the newer channels, newer ways of working as an opportunity rather than something that one has to do because of the circumstances. So it's looking at internal communications a little bit afresh, but still keep in mind it's all about involving and engaging employees in what the organisation is doing.
Alan, that's really sound advice. Thank you very much indeed for giving us your insight into internal communications, a subject that has become so important in this COVID world. Alan, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome, Karen.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we're coming right up to date discussing artificial intelligence with Graham Berridge.
See you next time.